The guide is for consumers of new vehicles. So we put out a report, and this guide goes out every year. So we've done it for the 2011 model year vehicles. It can be used by you and I as individual consumers, but certainly for federal fleet managers, they're looking to identify which vehicles would perform better than others. This guide can certainly be very helpful as well.
Why don't you tell us what the guide is telling us this year? What's new? What's anything stand out in the data that you collected among the different cars?
Every year we put out the annual fuel economy guide. We've looked at the information, and we've put together a top 10 list of vehicles that perform. It's hybrid dominated, so 9 of the top 10 are hybrids. And when we look at rankings according to their city mile per gallon numbers, we also, for the first year, are including what are known as medium-duty passenger vehicles, which are larger SUVs. So we think that that's helpful, because where the guide will provide some additional information for consumers to look at the vehicles that they're going to go off and look to purchase.
Now, is that by design? I mean, is there a mandate or a rule that the hybrids have to be included, or how does that work?
No, it includes all vehicles. There's diesel vehicles in the guide, kind of the whole range of technologies, based on what's available from manufacturers as of the kind of, we have to create a cut point here. So it was as of roughly, September, when they had gone through and done all of their testing and come up with the vehicles they were going to introduce for 2011. The guide runs through that list. We also will have a companion process on the web that will get updated more regularly. And so if people have additional vehicles, the web was another good resource for people to look at in terms of determining what they may want to purchase. And that's at fueleconomy.gov, www.fueleconomy.gov.
Now, if all the cars were on the Serengeti plain like different species, there would only be relatively few that federal fleet managers can choose from, so they have to use U.S. nameplates, I hope. And they have to also have, in most cases, four-door sedans. They're not going to get convertibles, I don't think, too much, and coupes and that kind of thing. Anybody make a coupe anymore? Anyhow, so of the cars that are likely to be chosen by federal fleets, who's the best in terms of mileage?
It's a good question. I know some federal fleets are running Toyota Priuses as their vehicles are on the list. Ford Fusions are the Ford Fusion Hybrid and the Milan Hybrid are right there, number two in the ranking. So we have kind of the popular hybrids all show up on the list. There's some diesel vehicles that aren't on the top 10 list, but when you look at things according to class vehicles, diesel vehicles perform very well for those few that are in the marketplace. So we certainly are pleased with that. And as we go forward, we'll be looking at electric vehicles as they come out. They weren't particularly ready for the list and the guide at this point, but there's a lot of popularity around the GM Volt and the Nissan Leaf, for example. So those will certainly show up in terms of the web rankings as well as we move forward.
DOE has to coordinate with EPA to get all of this put together. Tell me about that partnership and how does that work?
We've been putting out this the guide for over 30 years now. We have a really good working relationship with our colleagues over at the Department of Energy. We sit down with them starting in July to walk through the process to make sure that we're getting the right data. We have to pick a cover design, and we alternate years between who gets the tie-breaking vote on the cover, for example. But we also then start to figure out the list and proofing the best worst list and working with manufacturers to make sure that we're getting what deadline we want to have to tell them for getting data into the guide. As that process rolls out over a couple of months, we compile all the data, send it to the manufacturers to make sure that it's accurate, because we want to make sure that the information that goes into the guide is the most accurate and up-to-date we can. And then usually by early September, we've finalized the guide, we're working through with DOE to make sure that everything works right and it makes sense and, it's all proofed. And then DOE will, they are statutorily required to print and distribute the guide to dealers. So we work jointly together on content and appearance DOE prints it, and then DOE also is the main organizer through their Oak Ridge National Laboratory for the fueleconomy.gov website, which is a joint EPA-DOE resource for the information that we collect. So, you know, we have the burden to collect the information, but we all work together to make sure that we're getting the right and most accurate information out to the consumers.
Let me ask about access to this fuel economy guide. You can get it through EPA, you can get it from the DOE, you can get it from the websites. But my understanding is you can also get it for your mobile device. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, we've tried to provide all opportunities for people to access the guide. So we provide it through both hard copies that are printed up. Dealerships now have the option to provide computer access to the information. It goes out to all libraries and some certain banks that get it as well too. It's credit unions get guides, and then we've also provided an opportunity for people to download information right off their mobile device.
I think we have exhausted our questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add? And also, let me ask you if that mobile device application, is that new?
Boy, I don't know, Justin. I'm trying to think if we did it last year or if this is the first
year.
You did have it last year?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't make such a big deal out of it.
So it's a good point to mention, I think, in terms of to have it people out, because we didn't really hit it hard last year. I know that.
Anything else you would like to add that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure gets hammered home?
No, I think you've asked the good questions. I would say that, we certainly believe that the guide, that providing the best information to consumers so that they can look and see what, making the best choices for MPG, and we will be working towards including greenhouse gas provisions as well here too, and that's certainly information available on the website that people can go off and, an informed consumer base is the best one we can have.
And by the way, what's the worst car?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Everybody asks that.
We have see if I can find it here. Lowest fuel economy hang on. I'll tell you in a second. The winner this year of the lowest fuel economy model is a Bugatti Veyron.
Well, that's 12 cylinders.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a very high-end sports car. It gets 8 miles per gallon city and 15 miles per gallon highway.
Is it cute?
Yeah, it's about $400,000 too.
Yeah. There's a Bentley and a couple of Mercedes, and then because we have the larger vehicles this year, that this year's lowest fuel economy list is populated by a number of vans, passenger vans.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I think if we pulled up last year's list, it would be primarily sports cars and high-end sports cars.
Well, at least passenger vans, the person mileage is better.
If you're going for that point, yes, certainly.
Yeah, okay. I would love to see a federal fleet made up of Bentleys
or
high-end Bugattis.
I'm pretty confident that's not going to be happening.